This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and Jim Broadbent, more like Jim Get Bent. Okay, I'm quitting comedy.
I'm Brady Posey, and once again, I can't figure out if I would just want to retweet everything that I agree with or walk into the ocean and never return. Mm-hmm. Whee! The internet's great.
I'm Tess Barker, and never in my life have I had a purse that was the right size.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey, it's the podcast.
It's welcome. Welcome. We are Lady to Lady. If you're new to listening to us, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, so much welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. We really appreciate you tuning in. We are a podcast, first of all.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is an audio file.
It's weird if you stumbled across us. You're just like, why isn't the video playing?
Yeah.
The audio is working, but there's staring in space, just waiting for a screen to appear in front of you.
There's definitely an ant out there who's having an ant moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, my uncle, last time I was at my aunt and uncle's house, talk of the podcast came up, and I was like, yeah, I have a podcast. It's kind of a big deal. And he was like, great. And he handed me his iPhone, and he was like, how do I subscribe to it? And I was like, you can't. And I just handed him his phone
it's
back.
It's just in the ether. You have to kind of find it like a Pokemon or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like those, for like boomers, it's like people, it's like the old like tapes and stuff like that people just exchanged back in the day. Like new form technology has become that.
Yeah.
You know how like when you used to like just see like, like before YouTube, they would just pass those videos around on like cassette tapes and stuff.
Yeah,
right.
It's like that's that, except the opposite for old people.
Let's bring on our guest because we have her.
Yes,
very funny comedian. She has a trivia podcast called Go Fact Yourself, and she's a regular on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Helen Hong.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
I just wanted to loop you into the video conversation.
Yes. Amazing.
I can't believe that people actually did that back in the day. Like that just requires so much interpersonal contact.
That's like how people found all the shit, though.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. All the like weird like culty movies
and
stuff.
I mean, it sounds amazing, mm-hmm. and I love the concept of that, but also, like, you would have to actually meet up with people in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Which kind of defeats the purpose of the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely was, like, I'm sure YouTube was around, but I was definitely a make people come over and watch the thing I recorded off of public access person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I so appreciate
I did,
that.
I did that all the time. I'd be like, I wasn't making them buy weed for me, but it was a feeling where it was like, you're trapped and I'm forcing you to watch dumb shit for a long time.
So exactly like buying weed.
Yeah, it was like buying weed, but I wasn't actually buying. Yeah, well, the drugs were there. I just wasn't selling them.
Just watch this guy fall down a bunch.
But it was a lot of like me recording, because they would broadcast. Remember Dimples, the karaoke place in Burbank?
Yeah.
They would broadcast people singing Dimples at midnight on Saturday.
That sounds amazing.
It was bananas. So I would just be, and I would just make people watch that. And then there was a show where there's a woman just surrounded by dildos. It was great.
What a wild, wild time. Is public access still a thing? It must be, right?
Not in LA. LA public access went away, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Which is a shame, because this would be a proving ground for quite a bit of crazy, I'm sure.
There would be so much public access here.
No, there was. Yeah, I remember when it went away, because I was like a huge fan. And this woman, Francine Dancer, had all these shows where she would dance in front of a green screen of herself dancing, mm-hmm. basically. Look it up on YouTube. She exists.
Awesome.
And I wanted her to come do a show at my house, and mm-hmm. then she was like, you're gonna have to pick me up from the Beverly Hills Library. And I was like, okay, maybe you will.
But also, like, yeah.
I mean,
correct.
Yeah, it feels right.
Correct. But I also then was like, well, maybe
accurate.
Okay.
You don't need to know where I live.
Then I did think she was like, I think she's probably going to want to stay at my house.
Yeah.
You
don't need that personal of a connection.
Yeah.
Once you've invited them in, you can't kick them out.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's like a vampire.
It's
harder to get them out.
Yeah.
My favorite public access guy is out of Chicago, and he's like a Chicago Elvira. His name is Sven Gulli. And he's just like, hey, I love these shows. But he's like, is dressed like a little vampire. But he has like this hardcore Chicago accent. It's so fucking funny.
I love
funny.
Him. What does he do? Gosh.
He just intros like bad, like 50s, like horror movies and stuff. He's like,
that's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Like he straight up is like an Elvira of Chicago.
I never awesome. Really thought about it until you brought it up. But like, there's for sure a lot of goths that have Chicago accents.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. The sun is not out very often there.
There are goths that have Asian accents.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There are goths. Goth is now worldwide.
It runs the gamut.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. We I did, love a goth.
It's when a lot I was, of commitment. I don't have that level of commitment.
It seems hot. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. How are you a goth in the summer?
How are you a goth in Southern California?
Right?
I remember in school when we read the Scarlet Letter and like whatever grade that was, like 8th, maybe, no, like 10th maybe or something. We had to do like a presentation where you had to like dress up to like make yourself feel like an other in the school. And my group, we picked goth. So we just all dressed up as hardcore goths for a week. And we got stopped by all the teachers in the hallway. And they were like, what's going on? Is anything happening in your home? And we were like, we're just proving the point, man.
It was very funny. You mean that you get attention? Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Because that's what they want.
I went to a Sadie Hawkins dance with my friend Brian. And we were like, what are we going to do? I was like, let's be goths. And, like, I was the least goth of all the goths.
Yeah, so. Jess, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So my goth imagine. Outfit, I'll post it in the Facebook group, but oh, it was, like, this God. Mini skirt that I got at Wet Seal, a really cute black T-shirt, and I had my hair in a blowout, and then I painted my nails black, and the picture's just me. Like, that's us.
You're looking cheery and sunny in your black outfit.
Yes. That's
meanwhile, amazing. She's sitting here in, a very pretty floral right now. Beachy blonde hair.
Adorable.
You're dressed as a goth right now.
I am. I actually commented on it because all of you are wearing summery outfits, and I roll up in like black, all black. But I got this T-shirt. It's a Blunt Talk cast T-shirt.
Oh, shout out to Blunt Talk if you guys didn't watch it.
If you have not experienced Blunt Talk, find it right now. It was a show that was on Showtime for 2 seasons.
Yep.
Nobody watched it, but it stars the inimitable Patrick Stewart.
Best in the game.
And what's the premise of the show?
Patrick Stewart plays like an alcoholic, drugged out newsman. Like he's supposed to be like an older Anderson Cooper, so he has like a news magazine show, and he's a very respected journalist, and he's very has authority and like does the news, and then like does lines of cocaine in the green room.
I love it.
He's just a fucking mess.
He's a hot mess.
Yeah, I've never seen him play a mess. I need to watch
this. It's amazing, and it's like and he's foul mouthed, and the show was on Showtime, so it gets really dirty, and it's so funny. It was written by Jonathan Ames, who wrote Bored to Death.
Oh, nice.
And it's so funny, and I can't believe it was a dream come true for me to get cast on it, because Patrick Stewart was my childhood hero growing up from Star Trek Next Generation. And I literally, like, when I got the audition for it, I literally screamed like, Patrick Stewart, !! And they were like, okay. And then I got cast and I almost died when I met him.
What did you do?
What was the interaction like?
Yeah.
I had to keep my shit together so hard, because all I wanted to do was like throw myself at his feet and be like, Captain Picard!
Seriously.
Make it so.
You and every person. I mean, it's so hard to not do that.
I had to keep it together. But I will say, for someone, like, in regards to people meeting their childhood heroes, this was the best experience anyone could have had, because Patrick Stewart in real life is as amazing as you want him to be. He's gracious. He's humble. If fans come up to him wanting an autograph, he will stand up out of his chair and shake their hand and take pictures. And
he's
so amazing. He's just I cannot say amazing things about him. Enough amazing things.
So would he just be like playing this like douchebag and then be charming?
Be charming and wonderful and gracious and like I had a big scene in the first episode that I was with him, and so I had to spend the entire day with him.
And just like the two of you on set hanging out.
Well, other people too, but like it was a full day of shooting, and so we just had all this downtime and we were chit-chatting and I was telling him about my stand-up and stuff. So then the next episode that I showed up on set, Patrick Stewart, and I'm not kidding, this actually happened, comes up to me and goes, Helen Hong, I've watched all your videos on YouTube and you're brilliant. And then I melted into the floor.
I can't believe you like recombobulated.
Like I couldn't feel my face for a week.
Like I was literally like,
this happening.
All of your videos, brilliant.
I'm so happy for you.
All your videos. And then I know he's for real legit, because like At the season wrap party, I met his wife, and she was like, "Oh my god, Patrick and I sat and watched all your videos, and you're awesome!" Like, I had backup confirmation
second
party of the room, and I was like, "Oh my god, Patrick Stewart watched all my videos on YouTube."
That is awesome.
So
just about died.
The ideal, obviously, because like you know, when you meet your idols or something, you want to. No, I mean, no one can be a peer to Patrick Stewart, but you want to, you know what I mean? You want to meet them on like somewhat like even
work
ground.
Situation.
Yeah, in a work situation. Yeah. And then to have that where he like actually watched you and that's
like he
bananas.
Respected me as a peer. Like I held my shit together so hard that first day that I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm a peer. I'm a colleague, man. And I just stand up, bro. And I was just like chopping up. Meanwhile, I'm like dying inside. Like dying. Like all I want to do is be like, oh my God. But I kept it together and like he's just such a great guy. And he went home and freaking watched all my videos on YouTube. And then the next time he was like, Helen Hall. I was like, oh my God.
To hear him just say your full name.
Forever. You'll want that moment.
It seared into my brain. Like, I could literally die. And I'm like, I did it. I did my
I'm
the
just,
epitome.
Like, imagining him in bed with his wife, like, laughing.
I know.
Videos.
I know. Just, like, foster pit bulls all around them. And just, like, smoking weed and watching stand-up on YouTube together.
He's, like, texting
that's who they are.
Ian McKellen, like, a clip of it.
Oh, my God. And Ben Kingsley's probably on the message, too.
Oh, you should see my friend, Helen.
Oh, my God, guys. I have, like, a lady boner right now just thinking about it. Just thinking about it.
That's
well,
so
it's
awesome.
Funny because I conversely fucked up my first meeting with Brent Spiner, who's the actor who plays Data. So Data was a recurring character on the show too.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a totally accomplished actor. He plays this great like piano playing
bartender.
Wait,
he was on Blunt Talk too?
He was on Blunt Talk.
Oh, shit.
He was on Blunt Talk.
Yep.
So after I'm like very cool meeting Patrick, then I'm in the cast van, like all of us pile into a cast van. They're driving us from base camp to like the where the set is. Mm-hmm. And like Brent Spiner comes running up, like he's like trying to catch the van. He's like, wait.
Oh,
and he jumps in and he jumps in the van and I literally turn to him and go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And he immediately just shut down. Because so I totally lost my cool.
And he seems like more of an introvert.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of those actors, they go to like Comic Con and they get
they have like the fanniest
fans. They get the like crazy fans who literally cost them on the street, like wearing full on Star Trek uniforms.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he just, his whole demeanor changed as soon as I like, I just gushed over him like on first meeting, and that was just the wrong move. It was the wrong move because we never made that connection on set after that because he was just like, oh, you're a weird Star Trek fan.
You're a
fan. I know,
fan,
it's so funny.
Distance.
You have to keep that. So they have crazy fans. Have you seen Trekkies?
There's
a moment in Trekkies where this woman is so obsessed with him.
Yes.
She saves pictures of him in her vault in case something ever happens that she can run out with if there's a fire.
Oh, my God.
Does she know about the internet?
No, this was made a minute ago. Okay. So this was, the internet existed, but this was like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely had her own.
And even if she did, I'm sure she has things that.
She had
signed
like
ones
personal photos of him, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. That rule.
So she called herself a Spiner femme. That was her name for being a fan of his. And she would go out onto her balcony and be like, oh, I can't see Brent's house, but I can see the top of the hill of the house that Brent's house is on.
Yeah.
So I come out here and I have what I call a Brent break.
These are insane. So now he's thinking he's trapped
he's like,
in a van
you
with
got
one of these
with the Brent break.
And I'm like, no, I'm not a Spiner femme. I'm not a Spiner femme. I'm actually way more a Picard femme. But because I had kept it so together with Patrick when meeting Patrick Stewart, and thank God I did, because then I kind of lost it when meeting Brent Spiner, and he just was. We just never made that connection on set.
There's only a finite amount of cool that you can keep with those kind of people in succession like that.
Yeah, I couldn't keep it together the whole time.
I just get really quiet when I'm around somebody that I really like respect. Like I get really like weird and like shy.
Yeah,
it depends. I think if it's a surprise, like when I saw Ad Rock, I've like freaked the fuck out because I wasn't expecting it at all.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like you literally are on the street 5 feet away from me all of a sudden. And I did I just only said like one thing.
Yeah.
But it was still like that bubbling over like.
Well, the premiere party for for Blunt Talk, the first season of Blunt Talk, the entire cast came.
They're all still friends.
They're all still friends.
I love it.
So now I'm on a red carpet 5 feet behind the entire. So they took pictures together. So it's Captain Picard and Geordi, like Geordi LaForge was there. I don't even remember their real names.
LeVar
Burton was there. The guy who plays Worf was there.
Yeah.
Marina Sirtis was there. So they're all there walking the red carpet together, and I'm freaking out. And
meanwhile,
I'm like on the carpet. People are taking pictures of me, and I'm just like craning my neck.
Yeah, all of your eyes are
dying. I'm just like dying. Oh, so that night, it was very hard for me to keep it together.
Did
That's
you?
So cool.
But were you able to have that moment of like, I've arrived? Like, I made it happen.
No.
Like, I'm here.
Totally not. There was not one moment of, I was just like, oh my God, it's them. They're all together. Oh my God, they're still friends. Oh my God. There was no moment of cool. There was no moment of like, yeah, I'm here to like, forget it.
Well, I think it's like the things that you become a fan of at like that age in your life, just will always take you back to that age too, I think.
Yes.
Where you're just like,
so I was
shit. Yeah.
So I'm like 12-year-old me freaking out internally. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, when I met Howie from the Backstreet Boys, wow, I was not. I was a fucking psycho. And I wasn't even a huge Howie fan, but it was that feeling of like, I was a kid, you know.
Yeah, it just takes you back.
Yeah.
We stalked Geordi LaForge. We went to that bar that he was guest bartending.
Yeah, he was bartending somewhere. I don't know, he posted about it or something. We went.
La-bartending is what
it's called. La-bar Burton.
And he poured me the strongest whiskey Coke of all time. It was 90% whiskey. And then he pushed it over to me. He was like, that might be a little heavy.
I was like, why was he bartending?
I have no idea.
It wasn't like a special event?
No, I think it was just like a guest. It was funny though because it was like a fancy bar.
I don't know
bar.
How we found out about it. Somebody
tweeted it, and then we were like, are we going? And then it was funny because you could tell who was just at the bar and then who was there for Star Trek.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was definitely nerds like all scared to go up to the bar.
By the way,
it was
if
a
any of you
bar.
Hear anything that like that happening again, tweet me immediately. Or like
Absolutely.
Text me
well,
immediately.
Apparently
we're going.
He might be.
We're going.
Well, I don't know. He might be a... MCing? What is it called? Our friend's wedding. What the fuck is it called?
It's not him. It's someone else.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, I have another friend who, so maybe I mixed up. What?
I'll tell you off the
mic. Okay.
I don't know.
If we're talking about
I'm talking about something. Oh, yeah. I am thinking about him. You're right.
Yeah.
But I do have another friend whose wedding he might
really?
Go to. So never mind. I got two Star Trek people mixed up.
All these LeVar Burton.
You're right.
Heads
you're right.
Life.
Okay.
This is so much of a nerd I am. I'm more starstruck by him because of Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean,
you were a Star Trek person.
Yeah. You never watched Star Trek.
No, but I loved Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who didn't?
Yeah.
He's
too iconic.
He's amazing.
Mostly just a great theme song, if we're being honest.
And what a cool career to be like.
Awesome.
Roots, Reading Rainbow, Star Trek, like how
all of the bases.
Like
I think
what
about
a bizarre
him.
Reach of. Mm-hmm.
I also often think about Tiffany Amber Thiessen because to be on Saved by the Bell and 90210.
Those are like the same show.
Now that's a feat.
But like both cultural touchstones.
Right, right.
She came into my old work and I was like freaking out because I was like, you're Kelly Kapowski and you're Val. I can't.
It is interesting with somebody because it's like that's what you know them from. I'm sure he's done other stuff, but it's been like those are the hits.
Well, actually, I heard an interview with him because he did Wait, Don't Tell Me. Unfortunately, not when I was on the panel, so I didn't get to meet him in person.
Someday,
but he did Wait, Don't Tell Me, and so I heard that one. And he said after Roots, he actually had a really hard time getting cast.
Sure,
really,
because he was typecast or whatever. Like he thought Roots, like I made it, I've arrived, I'm Hollywood royalty. And he's like I didn't have a job for like 5 years.
Five years
all the time.
Some outrageously long amount of time where he could not get work. And then when Reading Rainbow came about, he was like, thank God.
It was a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that happens to so many. I think always, what's his fucking name? Jesse from
MTV?
Breaking Bad.
Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul.
I'm like, you're never, that's it. You're Jesse.
That's your iconic part.
Agreed.
I've seen enough of
them, I
can't.
If you're too good at a role, you're locked into that role.
Yeah. Or like, you need like a generational cleansing of a palate, kind of.
Yeah, because that's what I've heard about the guy, the actor who played Joffrey on Game of Thrones.
Oh, he checked
apparently,
out.
Apparently, like, can't get cast because everybody sees him as the biggest asshole now.
Yeah.
Would you guys rather have a role like that where it's, like, iconic, you're going to make a shitload of money, you'll probably be fine for the rest of your life just from residuals and stuff like that, or just play, like, character bit parts your entire career, also you're working the whole time, but no one really ever knows who you are?
I think character bit parts, because then you don't get spiner femmed.
Yeah.
I think so too.
As long as financially you're stable,
both situations you're financially stable.
I would take the character one because I think it's just more fun. You're always working.
Yeah.
You
know,
I think so too. Yeah.
You get a little taste of something different all the time. Mm-hmm.
But it would also be cool to be like, oh, I was a part of something huge.
Of course.
Like, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind being Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she does like, doesn't she like chew up food and spit in her kid's mouth?
Yeah, and
something?
I'm sure LeVar Burton chews up food and spits in his puppy's mouth.
We won't be.
And his puppy loves it.
Yes.
We're going to do that to each other. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Helen Hall.
Hi.
And we're going to play a little game. Did you have MySpace back in the day?
I did.
Do you remember those like survey things where people post their entire personalities? Okay,
oh,
well,
God.
Great, then this is your first MySpace survey.
Oh, very first time.
It was
time.
So long ago, I don't.
This was like back when people had a lot of time on their hands,
yeah.
I think.
Not like now, when you're busy with the BuzzFeed quizzes.
Right.
Yeah, this is the pre-BuzzFeed right. quiz, yes. Basically.
What's the best puppy for you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah,
those.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think those are just so addictive because you just want to feel seen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even if it's by BuzzFeed.
I think that's why the fucking horoscope astrology
totally.
So in, and that's why people take the
mm-hmm.
the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, the Myers-Briggs test. It's just like, oh, I want to like feel like something gets me even if it's this machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, speaking of machines, yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Machine news.
You got really excited.
It's time for some machine talk.
Okay.
Yesterday, I was getting my nails did and I was reading this article in a magazine about these two supermodels. I've got to get their names. But one of them posed for Rihanna. She's this, like, really beautiful, like, black woman with, like, it was, like, do you guys remember this picture? It was, like, her nude with, like, three
gold. What do you mean posed for her?
She was, Rihanna's line, Fenty.
Oh, okay.
So she was, she kind of, like, gained fame
okay.
posing for Rihanna. Anyway, turns out she's not real.
What?
She's a fucking robot.
No.
Yeah. So there's her
Wait.
And this other supermodel. Yes.
When was this revealed?
I don't know how it wasn't front page news. It was like on page 50 of this magazine I was reading. But this fucking model who modeled for, first she modeled Rihanna shit. Nobody knew she was a robot. And then this other supermodel robot got outed as a robot. And then that's
what?
How they found out the Rihanna model was a robot. And they look so real.
Wait, so they're like models in magazines.
Yes.
And so they sit and pose for pictures.
They're social media models.
And they're not human beings.
But they're not human beings.
Her?
Yeah, she's a robot.
Fuck
no.
That.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I just like this. I don't
is
like it.
Is this model real or fake? So I think she's digital. She's not a robot. I think she's made digitally.
A digital
Yeah, but
model.
I mean, she's made by it's an AI project, and you can interview her. She's got a whole personality. She's...
No.
Yeah, but you're right. She's not a physical robot.
Okay.
But you can interview her, and her responses are like the responses of a young woman in her 20s.
Like Shrek. Basically,
yes.
She's a 3D.
She's like Shrek,
model.
But they only revealed she was a robot because this other AI model got outed. So they were just going to let her keep being a...
I'm surprised Rihanna did that because I feel like
I think
like...
she got duped. Yeah, dude.
Oh, but she looks digital to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, there's
that
some
photo
pictures
looks
where she looks
not
a
real
little bit there,
though.
But not as much the other.
What is this photo from?
This
yeah,
is...
she doesn't look like... She looks like a computer image to me if you look closely.
I mean, it's pretty fucking well done, though.
Right?
Yeah, it's great.
Especially in a magazine, everything kind of looks
yeah.
fake. Because so.
Everything is fake.
Yeah,
yeah everything's like, photoshopped to hell. Mm-hmm.
This is like, I told you guys, we're just going to be it's just going to be hologram images of what we want to look like when
yeah.
we walk around.
If I was a model, I'd be so fucking angry.
I know,
yeah,
right?
I'd be so mad.
The guy who, the other kind of fucked up thing is the guy who created this model is a white man.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
also, he's profiting off.
Yeah, he claims that
table flip.
He claims that he's not profiting off of it, but it takes him 10 to 12 hours to make each image. So it's like mm-hmm. you're doing that for no money? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like you're
Somebody's
clearly monetizing.
Oh yeah, especially if you're an ad for Fenty, you're getting paid.
Right. Your whole purpose is doing like sponsored posts for these different labels. Like you're obviously
Models
getting
get
paid.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and like he's part of the time consuming process is that he'll put like peach fuzz on her face and do stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So he's like it used to be that we were taking regular people and trying to make them look like a fantasy. Now I'm taking a fantasy and trying to make it look like regular people.
Oh my fucking God.
What?
It makes so much sense, though, because, like, people, you know, you don't have to, like, worry about someone sitting in front of a camera for hours.
Yeah.
You can literally do any post, you know, you can make them look however you want.
Yeah.
That's so insane.
Yeah.
Man. Well.
Thank God. I'm perfect and I'm never going to age. So.
Oh my God, seriously.
Well, that's a sexy argument for universal basic income if I've ever heard one. Like, oh, we're just going to take everyone's jobs and replace them with robots from coal miners to fucking models. Yeah. Okay, well,
but you know
cool.
what? That's fine. Give us a check. We'll see you at the beach. Yeah. Let the robots do the work.
Agreed.
Fine. Fine.
If that is I mean, you know, stand up. That's like one area where like, well, I hope this can't be taken over by robots.
I don't think it could. I feel like the arts kind of can't.
Holograms, though.
They, really? But that's still taking existing something that a human wrote at some point.
Yeah, it's not like they didn't make it.
Yeah.
I think there's a computer. Didn't a computer write a poem recently?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there was something like fucking a computer computers. Program wrote a poem.
Angsty software. Like, get out of here. Yeah.
Well, and Google Translate in the last couple of years has gotten much better.
Very
because
poetic.
They, yeah. It's got kind of, sort of, yeah, because it used to be, you know how you used to do a Google Translate and it's like, that's not really what that says. They've started to recognize like the nuances of language their AI has. So
wow.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually could train a robot to write.
By the way, Google Translate for Korean is garbage.
Is it ridiculous?
Really? Garbage. It's like, what are you saying? It's like walk and not luau's.
It's doing like Yoda.
What are you saying? Like, well, that's not even a sentence. Google Translate. So they're, it's better with some languages and not with
so
others.
So they're working on it, I guess.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I'm thinking of, though, Data from, like, I wonder, you know, I feel like if we're going to have robots, they need to look like Data because he has,
yes.
you know, like,
you can
he
tell
looks
he's
like
a robot.
Robot.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like,
robot.
You know,
yeah. I'm actually fine with the robots as long as we can tell they're robots.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want that robot to spend as much time as I do on my makeup every day. That's what I want. Yes. I just want to see them powdering themselves with a silver powder every day of their life.
I just think we're all, they're going to come kill us. It's, yeah. They're going to come kill us. Like, have we not watched any sci-fi movie ever?
We've earned it.
Literally every
movie
we've made.
We've totally, like.
Well, it makes sense because we're going to make the Earth inhabitable for humans.
True.
So
it's going to be.
We're actually seeing our next. This, robots are the next generation.
Hey.
Hello. Would you guys feel comfortable in a driverless car?
No.
I think we've talked about this. It really depends. I don't. Think so.
I'm ready.
You are?
Oh, yeah. I don't like driving.
I like driving.
I'm like, I find it stressful. Like, if I'm
like
tired,
driving.
I don't like to drive.
I like
at certain times of the day, I don't like to drive. Like, I feel that I could let a robot take the wheel.
Actually, that is true. Like, I like that's those scenes in Minority Report where everybody's in a driverless car and they're just like,
I kind of like, I like,
they're like Tetrising around each other.
Exactly. I feel like if it was on a track, I would feel better. I feel like the like random looseness scares
me. I don't, because it just killed that one woman in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, but how many people get killed every day, all day, every day?
Wait,
everywhere?
Well,
there was a driverless car with a driver that was supposed to be paying attention and it just drove as this woman jaywalked and it just hit her.
Oh, it hit somebody walking.
Yeah, it hit somebody walking.
I mean, certainly the fatalities are troubling, but also, like, there's so many fatalities with human driven car. I guess I trust robots more than I think that's part of I feel like that's one thing I'm noticing as I age is like I have this weird phobia of like the Grapevine, the 5, I can't drive that anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it really, like, I have panic attacks. Like, I've had to pull over a couple times, and, like, now I have to take the long way to San Francisco, and, like, it
What about it, though?
Just going through the mountains
there?
I don't trust the truck drivers. Like, I don't trust them. Like, to me, I know.
No, driving by a truck is, like, the worst feeling ever.
It's, like, crippling, because I know they've been up for, like, 15 hours. They've been driving for so long. It really freaks me out.
Yikes.
And then I already had this, like, really crippling fear of semi-truck drivers, and then I was hit and run by a semi-truck a couple months ago.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In your car?
In my car, like, luckily we were in stop traffic, but that was even scarier because it was like, you didn't fucking see me. We were in stop traffic.
Yeah.
You didn't think
hit
there was a car there?
Run?
Yes. There was a car accident, like, maybe like 150 yards in front of us. So we were in deadlock traffic on the 101 and no one's moving. We're all in gridlock traffic. And the semi-truck driver starts turning in towards my car. So I lay down my horn like, yo, dude, someone's here. And he just kept going.
Yeah.
And because we were stopped, he didn't hurt me or anything. But he didn't stop until he hit my car.
He didn't see you.
Yeah. So and that's
there's a lot of blind spots on those things.
And that's what the cops said. They were like, well, is it possible he didn't see you? I was like, yeah.
He probably
shouldn't be on the road if he can't see me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to be looking.
So I kind of think I would prefer a robot semi-truck driver.
Yeah. I think it will only work if all the cars are robots.
That's what it has to be.
That's it. You can't mix, because I think that's when the accidents will happen, is when, like, a percentage of them are driverless and then a percentage are not.
I mean, I feel like
there's always going to be that human erratic element that the humans are going to do things at the last minute, like turn at the last minute and stuff, and boom.
Yeah.
That's when accidents happen.
from my cold dead steering gloves. Will you get my car?
I know. I hope I get a pickup truck before we all have driverless cars, because I do want a pickup truck at one point.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I do not. I want to go smaller and smaller. I want to drive one of those teeny, teeny Fiats.
Oh, those are cool. I would if I felt safe in them.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think it's a golf cart. Yeah. I had a Mazda Miata in high school.
You did? Uh-huh. Those things are zippy.
It was zippy and it was hot, but those... I think that might be part of my phobia too, actually, though, because that car was so light.
Mm. Yeah, those are scary to drive.
There were two different times that I just braked fast and my car did a 180 on the freeway.
No, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
my God. And yeah. I would take certain turns and two of my wheels would just be airborne. But I looked cute as fuck.
Okay, note to self, never get a Miata because I drive like a maniac and I'm constantly braking hard.
Don't get a Miata.
We are. Yeah.
Get that Fiat. Get that Fiat.
I'm about to go try to get a convertible to drive from San Francisco up to wine country this coming weekend.
That'll be awesome.
And I've never driven a convertible. I've been in convertibles, but I've never driven one.
Do you have one in mind?
I want one of those, like a bug, like a Volkswagen bug convertible, but I don't know, like, what the...
So you're just going to rent one?
I don't know what the rentals are available.
I will say that's, like, such a unique and amazing pleasure. Like, driving a convertible...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've done it.
Oh, yeah. On, like, a nice day in California.
Yeah.
With your music up
to, like, wine country?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm performing in wine country. I'm picking up my sister in San Francisco, and we are zipping up there.
Oh, my God. You guys are going to have so much fun.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Girl,
Where in wine country?
I'm doing a show in Sonoma and a show in Napa.
Yes.
So it's like the Fridays in Sonoma and the Saturdays in Napa.
Are you a wine drinker?
I'm not a huge one. And actually, I'm trying to do sober September, so no.
Mm-hmm. So cool. You're not going to go wine tasting?
No. But I can't anyway because I'm performing.
Exactly.
So I'm going to go watch my sister get blitzed.
Perfect. That's what you want in wine country, someone to watch you get blitzed.
Yeah.
They have a variety of bubbly waters for you to drink at the different places, too.
This bubbly water. Mm,
yeah.
I like the good notes. Fine notes in your bubbly water.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. Sorry. I'm thinking of this car and a track thing because I suggested to somebody recently, I was like, what about a comedy show that's like a Disneyland ride where you, like, go along a thing and you stop and someone's, like, doing a bit and then you kind of, like, keep going on the track.
That sounds fun.
I feel like that would be a fun thing to build. Obviously, I don't know how the fuck you would make that.
Maybe that's if there was, like, an abandoned track somewhere, like an abandoned racing track. So it was more of, like, a circle.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm feeling like, but how, I don't know how the, I feel like it would have to be.
What a cool concept.
Yeah. It's a fun idea that I have zero idea how to fucking execute.
Right.
But.
Or you could even expand it to not just stand up, but, like, one stop is stand up, one stop's like a violinist.
Like a song. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Different art, like a little art show. Mm-hmm.
There used to be something they did at the Steve Allen that I thought was so cool, but also like so theater. But it was called the car plays. Mm-hmm. And they would fill the parking lot with cars, and then two people could be in each play, and you would sit in the back seat, and the scene's happening in the front seat.
Oh, that's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Wow, that is very
cool. And so you'd see like three or four vignettes.
That's neat.
Yeah.
And then not always like mom and dad screaming at each other?
No, there's like all different ones.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of that when I was a kid.
Yeah. No. I think some of them, you were in the front seat too. Like they alternated like what the different scenarios
that's
were.
That's cool.
And, like, yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one or two of these stupid. They're for fall, guys. Happy fall.
Oh, my God. I can't even think of
it. I mean, this is an actual MySpace test.
Yes. This is at funmyspacesurveys.blogspot.com if you guys want to follow along. Because someone made that website. Because why not?
I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz.
Have you ever bobbed for apples?
I have.
Huh? Yeah? It's overrated, right?
Bobbing for apples is small. It's small? Small is fun, but I feel like the water gets snotty.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kind of gross.
And it gets up your nose.
It's kind of like beer pong. Like, you can't think too much about
it.
Yeah.
I think these are all
very
like,
unhygienic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did it as a kid, and I'm glad I did it as a kid.
I think it's a kid thing.
I wouldn't do it as an adult.
Yeah. It is fun as a kid. Anything where you're like getting wet is fun when you're a kid.
For sure.
That's absolutely true. Like those log flume rides.
Yeah.
I don't think I would love them right now.
Because you're not supposed to be wet.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And I'm just too busy thinking about like the water and how gross it is.
Exactly.
And how dirty yeah. it is and where it's been and like, ooh.
I always loved the ones that had the big hill that you went down that made
yes.
the big.
Yep.
Because I would love to see the people on the bridge that didn't know what was coming. And I'd just be like, get ready.
I mean, what's a log flume ride without that? That's
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's always bad when you go on like a cock tease of a log flume ride where you don't get wet.
Exactly.
Oh, it's bullshit.
And they have a bunch of hills where it looks like you're going to. It's like, yep. Excuse me.
A cock tease of a log flume.
That's your new t-shirt. Make t-shirts. Cock tease of a log flume ride.
Okay. Oh, I had one. Oh, do you know anyone who works on a farm?
Do I know anyone who works on a farm? I know people who work on a ranch.
Oh, what's the difference between a farm and a ranch?
Ranch is more animals.
Farms, animals are born there, and ranches, animals are raised there.
Okay, hashtag definitions.
Wait, born there and raised there. That's the, oh, they just get them.
The animals
imported.
How yeah. did you know that? You just knew that.
Because I went to an alligator ranch last year.
Oh. And they explained it to you. Wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah they explained wow. the difference.
Well, then I do know people that work at a farm, because I know this ranch. I used to work on a ranch, and animals are born there all the time.
Oh, cool.
Why did you work on a ranch?
I worked at Malibu Wine Safaris as a safari tour guide.
Cool.
As a safari tour guide, and when I first moved to LA, it was like my part-time day job to supplement my income, because I was like just kind of restarting as a comic in LA. And it was an amazing job, and it was an amazing place with an amazing cast of characters, which I've written into a pilot script.
I was going to say,
hell yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
If anybody is
That's
interested
great.
In a pilot script about a wine safari ranch,
oh my God.
I have one ready to go.
I almost got married there. I was considering
really?
Getting married
it's
there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's, this place is, have you guys been here?
No.
It's beautiful.
It's a trip. Like,
it's this billionaire who owns like... you know, a 3,000-acre ranch in Malibu, and he wine is his thing. So it's a vineyard.
Yeah.
It's a vineyard. So there's vines everywhere. It's beautiful, especially in the fall. Like, actually, right now, it's probably when the vines are coming in. Mm. And then, for some reason, they also started taking in exotic animals because they have
oh,
the land.
Cool.
So they have llamas and alpacas. They have zebras. They have water buffalo.
A giraffe. Oh my God.
Cool.
A giraffe who's a Hollywood giraffe. He was the giraffe in The Hangover.
Oh, really?
The Hangover 2. The Hangover 2.
That's awesome.
And I guess.
I love the credits of the animals
yes,
in this town.
Totally.
I hope he doesn't get a long head from it. All right.
Yeah, there's one place.
Hey, yo.
One of the places, but they have like three different areas where you can get married, and the most expensive one is the giraffe one.
Yes.
But like, if you have giraffe money.
Yeah.
You're gonna go giraffe. If you have Malibu Safari money, go
giraffe.
Yeah.
Go giraffe.
Yeah,
go big.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go long. Yeah. Okay. Go tall or go home.
Do you guys know what color like giraffe tongues are?
Purple?
Or black.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
wait, giraffe what?
They're like a really weird color.
I think they're yes. really dark purple.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like the same color as if you've been drinking red wine all night.
Exactly.
It's that color. Yeah.
Especially, yeah, maybe yeah. they're raised in Malibu Safari and then they get wine drunk.
Yeah. yeah. But it's actually a really magical place, and I loved
I
my
can't
time
believe
there.
I've never even heard of this
I worked
place.
There for as a tour guide. So
That's
I would
awesome.
Like get on these janky jeeps and just like tour drunk people around, like drunk basic bitches around.
I was going to say yeah. lots of wine moms,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah. A lot of basic bitches and a lot of wine moms and a lot of like
with this
a lot of girls, a lot of girls that are forcing their boyfriends on like fun dates,
right?
Yeah,
and I would tell them about the ranch, and I would tell them about the animals and the you know the wines, and we would do wine tastings and stuff. It's actually a really fun experience.
Why
I suggest it to anyone.
Guys hate fun dates.
Sean likes fun dates.
He does. Okay. Yeah. I feel like, but it seemed like a lot of...
But yeah, they do. That's a good question.
I think guys don't like what they think is implied forced fun.
Maybe.
But they also don't
like things that they deem as kind of girly.
Right.
Which
right.
is fun things. Yeah. Plays. Fancy restaurants, ranches, wine.
They're yeah. also tastings. Not authorities on that on those things.
I was going to say, yeah. They, like somebody else is in control.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, they aren't the knowledge base of that date.
That is a really good observation.
Yeah.
That's
because
true.
I, mm-hmm. In the 2 years that I worked at that as a safari guide, I never saw a group of dudes that wasn't there that were dragged by women.
Yeah.
Really?
Never.
That's a bummer.
And we had so many bachelorette parties, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, baby shower, not shower, but like what shower parties. And
yeah.
There was never a group of dudes.
Yeah, I don't.
Never.
Guys just don't like guys hand don't, stuff. They go to
sports.
Games.
That's yeah. it. Yeah, but they're not out there like, let's go get petties and then do yoga.
No.
Which they're no. missing out.
yeah.
I do like way more fun things with my girlfriends than Sean does with his guy friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah Sean was sure. like, recently he was like, his best friend is in a very serious relationship. And he was like, I won't say anything, but he was like, I wonder if he's ever said, I love you to her. And I was like, what the yeah, fuck? They, of course.
We've been together a long time.
I was like,
time.
Don't you guys ever talk about your relationships? And he was like, no, no. never. And they're best friends.
Yeah. yeah. No.
No, not
they
at all.
Never, really it never okay. comes nope. up.
This is why, again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I keep talking about the show, but this is why I love Love Island, because all the guys, the entire show is just talking about your relationships. So all the guys are constantly talking about their relationships. They always say, I love you. They always hug each
what?
Other.
Wow.
Yeah. They're like
but they're
very
forced
intimate
to.
With their friends. But they're not really. No, they're really? Saying I love you to their guy friends. And
aww.
Like,
Brendan's got some guy
saying.
Friends he does that with.
Yeah.
So they
yeah,
love
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Aww.
It's
yeah.
really cute.
That's
well,
sweet.
I think, like, he's people that have been through similar experiences to him, he, like, will say the same kind of, like, they can. My boyfriend's sober. He has a lot of sober friends. And, like,
right,
they,
right.
they've gone through the same mm-hmm. thing together. So I think yeah. they just are more open because they've gone through that together.
I think that helps
right.
a lot. If
yeah.
you're, like, because you literally have to go and, like, talk about your feel, you know.
Yeah.
If you go to AA or something. Mm-hmm. But whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Aww.
He's in a program, so I feel like I can say that.
I'm very dude-ish. Yeah. I have a very dude-ish energy, and I have a hard time saying I love you to anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you never the first person to say it in a relationship?
Never.
Huh.
Maybe once, the one relationship that I was like really in love with this person. Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, it's you never want to be the first one to drop.
It's hard to do.
I'm
it.
Always the first one, and I say it probably more like to friends that I shouldn't say it to. I'm kind of like an I love you slut.
Sometimes it comes out and you didn't really mean to say it to that person.
Exactly.
You're like, well,
yeah.
Here it is.
I love
I'll
throwing.
Say love you.
Yeah.
In that
yeah,
trite
that's
way.
That's different than like I love you.
Yeah.
No, yeah. There's very many shades of I love you.
Right.
It is always awkward though when like you're on the other end of it and someone's like, I love you, and you're just like
Great.
We do love you. We just have to take a break. Is that a good?
Yeah.
Good segue.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Need it.
Lady to Lady again. I'm Barbara.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Jess.
And we're here with Helen.
Hi.
Hello.
And, do you want to help us give some advice?
I'd love to give advice.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Let's do it. If you have a lady problem, send it to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yep.
I love how we can never remember. You guys know it.
It's like when a word stops meaning anything when you say it too much, you know?
Mm,
your brain's
sure.
like, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say something?
The letters stop meaning. You're like, is an A? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
Lady.
Here we go. Hi, ladies. I would like to start off by saying that I absolutely love your show. I listen to episodes of Lady to Lady when I drive home to my parents' house to make the bleak scenery more enjoyable. My name is Trista, and I'm a 22-year-old fresh out of college lady. Due to the fact that I seem to be lacking girlfriends lately, I decided to email y'all with my lady problems. So, little background before I get to the main issue I'm struggling with. Throughout my teenage years and all but my senior year of college, I have prided myself on my independence. Let me elaborate. I've always enjoyed being single. I had one boyfriend for less than 2 months in high school, but other than that, I used to dominate the hookup scene. I loved it, and I think casual sex is an amazing aspect of single life. As great as this era of my life was, I am an emotional person who quickly forms attachments to people, so I was itching to be in a relationship. Enter my boyfriend. He is my next door neighbor, and we met when someone threw up on my couch at my Halloween party, and he offered to clean it up.
Oh.
Even brought his own Lysol.
What?
He's a keeper, I know.
Yeah, that's a great move.
Sweet.
We moved very fast after that, but I wouldn't have had it any other way, as it felt so right and natural. However, 3 weeks into our relationship, I got a phone call at brunch from my sister sobbing as she had just found out that our dad had cheated on our mom in November 2017.
Yikes.
This news was devastating, and even more so because the situation blew up immediately. My boyfriend and I became even more connected after this event because he was by my side when I was initially very upset. Although my parents' situation is completely separate from my own life with my man, I often find myself triggered, if you will, in certain situations. For a while, after the news of my dad's infidelity, anytime my boyfriend would be on his phone, I was suspicious. I was so paranoid that he would cheat on me because my dad cheated on my mom. Mm. Because I had anxiety before this event and felt totally out of control of it later, I've been seeing a counselor since January, and it has immensely helped, especially with my relationship. I felt that I was picking fights over stupid, irrational shit because of my anxiety and my parents' shit. Even now, though, I struggle with being jealous of if my boyfriend ever does anything without me, a rare occurrence. Since we began dating almost 7 months ago, we are always doing things together. He has maybe gone out with his friends without me a total of 3 times. However, the best part about our relationship is that I feel that I still have my independence. I can do things on my own without it being a problem. But I feel like a crazy girlfriend when I get jealous or anxious when he does shit without me. We've had tough arguments and conversations, but have ultimately told each other that we want a future together. I have already lived a fulfilling single life that eventually led me to my boyfriend. I don't want my jealousy to push him away and damage our growing relationship. He's my best friend, and I love him with all that I have, so can I overcome my jealousy over innocent things? Thanks for the continued laughs.
Wow. Thanks for that very honest and vulnerable question.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
That's a toughie. I don't know how you get through jealousy.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, see what's really there and not what you're, like, you have to really make a distinction on what's actually happening and what's only happening in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's actually happening is he's a great guy. And if he's only gone out three, I'm actually more concerned about the fact that he's only gone out 3 times without you.
No, I agree, yeah.
I feel like maybe you guys are too kind of tied at the hip. Is that the phrase?
You gotta let him have his independence. If you still feel like you have yours, and you gotta
it ultimately will end this if you can't figure out a way to let him have his own life too.
I'm a little bit jealous of a person, not with like people spending time with other people, but like specifically, I have a weird thing of like strip clubs make me feel weird and jealous. But I will say, going to like Magic Mike and stuff like that made me realize like, oh, if I like doing this, then he should be allowed to at his bachelor party too, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, what helped me with that particular jealousy issue is just, it's like, if put yourself in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be able to go out on your own? Mm-hmm. Then he should. I mean, if you care about him, you should want him to have the same things that you have.
Yeah. And also think about yourself, like in your own life, have there been situations where you're being blamed for something that you haven't done?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that, if you, you know, this happens with little kids, this happens with anything. Like if you're being blamed for something that you're not guilty of, it kind of makes you want to do that thing. Like, well, shit, if I'm known as a pickpocket or whatever it is, like if I'm known for being lazy, then I'm just gonna be lazy, fuck it. And that's what could drive him. You could actually be driving him to infidelity by accusing him unwarrantedly of infidelity.
Absolutely.
It's always weird to get like in trouble for something that hasn't happened.
Totally.
You know?
Oh, it's like my worst nightmare.
Totally.
It's really horrible. That's a really horrible feeling. And you do kind of like, when that happens to me, I feel like I'm wrong even though I'm not, you know, which is so like you have to take into account that you might be making him feel these things and it sucks.
I've been doing a lot of self-help work lately and manifestation work and listening to these gurus. I've been listening to a lot of Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay, and this isn't exactly the same, but their whole thing is gratitude and having gratitude to the universe for all the blessings that you have. And a great example that they give, which is sort of vaguely, you know, kind of related to this, is if you hold the door open for someone and they go through and don't say thank you, like, I don't know about you guys, but I want to, like, freaking grab that person and pull them back. I regret opening the door for you.
Yeah.
Or if you do something for someone and they don't thank you for it, mm-hmm. it's like you never want to do something nice for that person again.
Right. Yeah. Cars cut in front of you, and but then don't give you the exactly. wave.
It's enraging. Ooh. It's yeah. enraging. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of related to your situation where he is being a great boyfriend, mm-hmm. and you're not recognizing that he's being a great boyfriend. And so he's like, fucking it. Why do I have to be a great boyfriend then?
Yeah.
Screw it.
Definitely.
And I think this is basically anxiety. It's your brain going to like the worst case scenario and projecting that as the truth. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, you're going to therapy. That's great. But yeah, I would say like, and you know this too, you know, it's you, you know, yeah. it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's what's so tough about anxiety or any of these issues is like, you intellectually know it's not true. Mm-hmm. So how do you stop yourself from emotionally going there? So I'd yeah. say anything you can do to like, yeah, ground yourself, like meditate, like be anything you can do to continue to be as like present mm-hmm. is going to keep you more in what's actually happening, which is you're in a good relationship mm-hmm. and less in like this fantasy land where he's off cheating on you every time he wants to go to a baseball game.
Well, and are you friendly with your guy's friends too? I think sometimes it's also like, do you know the people that he's going out with? Because then it isn't just like this, like, he's going out with these guys and I'm projecting the worst things on them as well. But if, like, you know, and your friends and you trust them too, then you're like, oh, no, it's just like those idiots are just going to go be idiots. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
What are none of them have game. It's great.
And also let him miss you. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Like,
that's a big
absence
thing.
Does make the heart grow yeah. fonder. And, like, let him go out on a night with the guys and be like, yeah, that was fine, but it wasn't mm-hmm. how it is with you. You know?
Also, like, I love when John goes out of town because, like, I love having time to myself. Like, maybe... Mm-hmm. Use that as a time to reward yourself. Like, there's yeah. some things that you want to do that he doesn't want to do with you. If you think about it, I'm sure there's a TV show that he doesn't mm-hmm. like to watch. There's something that you are not able to do when he's around. So take the opportunity to do that when he goes out with his guy friends. Mm-hmm.
Also, I would say that I worry that there's something else going on that you're using this as, like, mm-hmm. reason to, like, be worried about the relationship with. So I would kind of, like, try to take into account if something else... If you do kind of, I don't know, if you want it yeah. to be over and you're using, I don't know, whatever the fuck, because it seems like, mm-hmm. obviously your dad really fucked you over and I'm really sorry and that sucks, but I would yeah. kind of try to see if you're trying to give yourself a way out or give yourself an excuse to run, you mm-hmm. know, if you're scared of commitment or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what your situation is with your dad now, but I wonder if there's anything worth having a conversation with your dad about what the fuck happened, you know? I mean, that's a lot, obviously, but it is just, like, it's affecting your life, like, what he did affected your life, and I feel like if you're just like, hey, what happened? Why the fuck, like, is it, like, what is the breakdown of that relationship, you know?
That's a really good point. Like, you know, don't try to fix your relationship with your dad by persecuting your boyfriend.
Yeah.
They're two different people and two different relationships, so don't try to, like, put one relationship, like, on top of the other and try to fix them at the same time.
Yeah, and you're also, you know, not that you need to know the details exactly of what everything happened with your dad, but I think if you, like, give him a chance to maybe explain some part of himself, then you aren't just filling in all these gaps and stuff. It's like whenever you watch a horror movie and they don't show you the monster, it's like scarier and worse because you project all of this horrible stuff onto it. But then, like, once you see it, you're like, it's just a thing in a rubber suit. And, like, obviously cheating is very different than that, but it is just like you're projecting all of these ideas and your brain's going to go to the worst possible places until you have, and it does not mean you need to forgive your dad at the end of that. Maybe it's just like, hey, this is fucking up my relationship. I need to talk to you and, like, get this boogeyman kind of, to understand this boogeyman a little bit too.
Yeah.
And that's probably easier said than done, but.
Of course.
You know, I think it's also an important thing. Because in psychology, there's a thing called normalization where you basically try to, like, rehave the same relationships over and over again to justify that pattern within your life. Because then that thing that happened isn't wrong. That's just the way that people act with each other. That's just the truth of how humans interact. And, like, once you can kind of, like, realize that a little bit, then you're like, oh shit, I'm doing things to both of you and I'm projecting the same thing onto both of you and you're very different people. This is not the same.
I also feel like you're a little young to be like, well, sowed my wild oats, time to settle down. Like, I would maybe, like, dial back the, like, this is it. We're doing this for, I mean, like, you sound like you're in a great relationship. This sounds awesome. You're also 22 years old.
Agreed.
Yeah, maybe that's you what are going to marry she this sounds guy, kind but of like she keeps being like, I liked being single, but I like, it's like, if you want to, I mean, it is okay that, if that's what
and
you
that
want.
That might happen. Like, right now, you're in a great relationship. So focus on the now, and that's great. But there's, you very you might be single again down the road. So, like, I don't think you need to worry too much about, like, check that box, I'm done.
I kind of wonder how much is also, like, along the lines of normalization. People also try to do different shit than the thing that they were... You could be, like, trying to make your parents' relationship work within your own relationship and to fix the thing that, like, your mom and dad couldn't fix. Like, that's also, like, a thing that I could... And that's also where you're like, no, we're in this relationship forever. Like, this is what it is. Because, like, we're married. And it's like, you're not thinking that consciously.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could very much see you being like, well, if I make this work and this is how I have to do it...
Mm. And then and then you are going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're young and you're in a good relationship. Like, I would just... Yeah. Be there now.
Enjoy that.
Like, that's awesome. Being in love with someone when you're 22 years old is awesome. Mm-hmm. Just have fun. Like, don't try not to put so much on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, that feels like a million years ago. I'm thinking about the relationship I was in when I was 22.
You think you're ride or die at that point.
You do.
You really do.
You know, you're like, no, this is it. We're done. Yeah. And I get it because it is also 22. You're right out of college. It's like the world is huge and massive. So you want something that you know is going to be real and like is like stable in your mm-hmm. corner. So I get why that urge is also super there too.
It is so funny how when you're younger, like, I don't know if you guys did this, but I was like, okay, high school and then maybe college. I mean, I went, but like college and then I'm an adult and life is done. And
yeah.
I find someone and I'm with them and then it's my life.
That's
and
what you were told.
Like, oh, no, this is not how it goes.
Yep, I had this thing in my head where I was going to, because my birthday is March 23rd. So my golden birthday was the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, yeah, so it'll be great. So I'll go to college and then I'll probably be like pretty famous by the time I'm 23. That's my golden birthday. I should have it all figured out a year after college.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really like put these weird expectations on yourself.
What is going to have my first million by 30. didn't work out.
It's so funny how the older you get, the more you know that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how much you know you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's so true. Like right out of college, I thought I knew it all. I thought I was a genius at life. I had it all figured out. I planned it. I was like, this is what's going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. And the older I get, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What is happening? You just get through this hour.
Yeah.
Like,
that's why, like, I get, like, the last year or two has been really interesting as far as just kind of being like, especially any life, you know, you pick is going to be uncertain. You don't know. Mm-hmm. But especially in the entertainment business, mm-hmm. it's like so, such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So I've had to really come to terms with being like, okay, like, I chose this life. I have to be happy day to day and know that, like, I'm doing the best I can. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, I have to be okay with that. And like, I have found myself being way more calm and happier just because I've been, like, more grateful day to day, for one. Mm-hmm. And just kind of being like, this is it. And, like, I have to try and feel good today because I don't know what the fuck is going to happen with this. Yeah. I know that I did my best, but that's all I can do.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But it does kind of like calm you down, I think, in a way.
For sure.
Depending on the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I recently had a stint in an office because I got a writing job, short-term writing job. And it was like very much like a 9-to-5 job, even though it was still a creative comedy job. Mm-hmm. It was still in an office 9-to-5. And I was like, I don't know how
that
people
like fucks
live.
You up.
Like, I was
right?
like, I don't know how people live this way. Like, this is crazy.
I swear to God, every time I do something like that, and I haven't done it for like a writing job, but any random like office thing I pick up a weekend, I'm like, how the fuck does anyone live this way?
People do it for decades.
It's
shout out to
bananas
the listeners
to
that like, are listening to us in a cube right now.
Yeah.
You can do something that none of us at this table can.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the interactions in the kitchen or like timing out going to take a poop.
Or like how excited you are to pee.
Yes. Like
so true.
And like as soon as I get into one of those jobs, I just want to eat every carb in existence.
Yeah. Your day really becomes about the snacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true. Tess just got major crazy eyes.
I know.
I was thinking about some specific gummy bears.
Yeah. No, it's true. And that office was so bad. It was like Bagel Fridays and Donut Thursdays. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to gain 20 pounds in this month of
Absolutely.
Just being here.
Whereas when I'm working from home, I'm like, it's 5 p.m. I haven't gotten dressed. I've had 5 cups of coffee and no lunch.
Yeah. It's all in your own terms in a very different way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that is what I do kind of miss about going into an office is like there was something nice about it. I would wake up. I would put on a cute outfit. I would do my Spanish lesson on my way to work, da da da. And now again, it's like, God, I mean,
now
I'm
you
not
just
wearing
have to
a
be
bra
more,
right now.
Yeah. You have to be more self-disciplined.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oof, flashing back to all of those jobs that I've had that I've hated.
Oh. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the worst. Yeah, all my worst office jobs, they were fun. Like, the one where I smoked cigarettes was really fun. Because I would just go smoke cigarettes on the dock.
A nice break is good.
A break is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then I worked at a big Hollywood agency when I first got out of college, and I saw someone get a phone thrown at their head.
No. Amazing. It was so like, funny that those stories are real.
That's the thing.
Like the Ari Gold stories that you hear, like they're all real.
Oh, it may as well be a documentary, Entourage.
I'm imagining like a Razor flip phone or something. Yeah. Like, what?
No, it was a full on like with multiple lines,
an
like
office
landline phone.
Oh, did they rip it out of the?
It was still attached to the cable, so it didn't actually hit the person all the way. But they threw it at their head, and then the cord made it bounce back. And then later that day, we all got free ice cream. So,
of course,
back to the food.
It's like an abusive relationship.
It is. Yeah. Honey, like, okay, I didn't mean it. Them with sugar.
Honey, I got you flowers. I'll never do it again.
Yep. Anytime a boss is trying to be your best friend, get the fuck away, mm-hmm. because it's not about you. They just want your free shit. Mm-hmm. They just want you to come and do shit for free for you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that makes me so mad. When I was like, we're a cool office. It's so fun to work here. Mm-mm. You just want me to stay later.
That's the whole Google model.
Yeah.
And why they have all this free snacks and stuff, because they never want you to leave.
No, and they want you in, they want to occupy your brain space forever. Mm. Yeah, it's gross.
I do like working at a fancy office, though. I do like that.
Startups are nice.
I've done some a couple weeks since at like fancy ad agencies. Mm. It feels good to sit in a big beanbag chair with your laptop. You know, I like that.
But they own you.
Yeah.
They own your soul. And
no,
they own your creativity.
For a few weeks, but I mean,
yeah, I've never done it. I think having like an end date has always made it more of a novelty.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the one good thing about this writing gig that I just did. It was 4 weeks and I was like, honestly, like by week two, I was counting the days. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, there's an end in sight. When me and Brandy, we were Easter bunnies at the Eagle Rock Mall.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
It was
interesting. It was something. It was like about two weeks, maybe three, whatever, mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
A fodder for jokes.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. I was like, I'm about to go on the road. I don't give a shit. Make some money. You know?
Yeah.
But it was like, by week two, walking down that back hallway to the mall office to go put on your Easter suit, I was like, whoo,
I
could not do this more than another week. Like, also, you're stuck in a fucking costume. But that wasn't the worst feeling I got was just going to that same place every day and walking to that
office. The groundhog's day of it all.
Yeah, exactly. Just that feeling of just like, ugh, you know. Yeah.
Put on the costume and say hey to the security guard. And
yeah.
Neither one of you want to talk to each other, but you feel like you have to.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why we get so food obsessed, is because that is something you can change.
Yeah.
Like, you can get sandwiches one day and wings another.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're looking at the same fucking wall.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Wow. It's like, I need some variety to mix it up. Yeah.
I don't want to shit on people. I mean, I feel bad.
No.
I can't do it.
We've all done them. And it's, you know, it's great. It works for some people. It doesn't work for others.
Yeah.
There's something soul crushing about it. There is something soul crushing about it. I'm not going to lie. And I know you guys listening that work in offices know that there's something soul crushing about it. But that should be an impetus for you to like try to get your yayas in another way, like try to be self-actualized in another way.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people I think use work that way, where like there are people that like they live to work, and there are other people that like I make my money mm-hmm. to go do my other shit, and this is just where I clock in and clock mm-hmm. out, and then I've got a whole other
I think, and I know that it's wholly possible to do very stimulating and fun work in an office setting.
Yeah.
I mean, just because work in an office doesn't mean your job sucks. I mean, there's a million interesting jobs that take place in an office setting, and then maybe like the officeness of it all, it's a downer, but work kind of outweighs it.
Yeah, you just hope there's plants and natural light and your boss doesn't call you sport too often. Yeah.
That was the thing about this job. It was like a windowless room.
That's
Windowless room for 4 weeks. I was like, oh my God.
We got you guys bagels.
Yeah.
Nope. A window.
I mean, this is why people fuck their coworkers. Like, because you just you're in the same thing and you're like,
person knows what I'm going through, too.
And it kind of makes sense that it started out during Mad Men times. Like, when everyone was wasted, they didn't notice there were no windows.
Yeah.
They were like, fuck it.
Just drunk all day.
Shit house. Who gives a shit?
Drunk and smoking cigarettes all day.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, yeah, I just do the 3 p.m. whiskey, like, in my bed now.
So much more freedom to do that.
Well, thank you for doing the show.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. Yeah. This
Tell
is great.
Where they can find
it
you
was lady to lady to lady to lady.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
That's how we do it here.
Lady times four.
Mm-hmm. Where can everyone find you online?
Please follow me on the socials. I'm on Instagram and Twitter @funny Helen Hong. I had to be funny because some other biatch has at Helen.
God
Hong.
Damn it! I know. I have a Barbara Gray that has my shit too. It's annoying.
She's got all my handles.
I like Lisa Curry has Olympian Lisa Curry because there is an Olympian Lisa Curry.
No,
who
yes.
took Lisa Curry.
That's hysterical.
She was like, "Fuck you."
Oh my god. Well, that's I'm bitter real. About the one that has my Twitter handle because I tried to buy it off of her and she blocked me.
What?
Like she wouldn't even negotiate.
Oh
with
my
me.
God.
Like, she was straight up a bitch.
Oh,
and then
lame.
She wrote some catty tweet that was like, "If you're looking for the comedian, this ain't her tweet." And then she blocked me, even though I was so nice to her.
That's kind of
like,
nice that she wrote that, though.
Yeah, like, you're
that's
a bitch.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, so
okay,
I
well,
have a
fuck
vendetta.
That Helen
yeah,
Hong.
But
I'm follow
funny
Helen
Hong.
Hong.
Yeah.
And she is super funny. Go see her live. I'm sure you have your dates on your
Yeah, on my calendar.
Stuff.
My calendar is at helenhong.com.
Okay,
God.
There we go.
Good.
Thank God.
Good.
She didn't get in on that, mm-mm. so.
Yeah, take that's that.
And thanks, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love
bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.